Well, as you probably can tell, I'm not from Texas, but from Thailand, so my accent will be a little different for you this morning, but I hope and pray that you will be patient with me. I wish I could preach in Thai, and there will be a subtitle that you can read, so it will be easier for you, but it's my joy to be able to bring the word to you, either in Thai or in English. But the title of the text and the message I want to bring to you is lose all to gain all. Lose all to gain all. Will you pray with me one more time before we look at Matthew chapter 13? Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that you will help me to speak your word clearly and to speak it faithfully, and be with all of us this morning that we can see the word, and our eyes and heart and mind will be open so we can see the wonderful things in your word. Help us this morning, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The year was 1952. The great missionary named Jim Elliot decided to leave your home country and went to a country named Ecuador to bring the gospel to the unreached group in the mountain. It's a dangerous and challenge calling for him, but he loved the Lord, and he wanted to bring the gospel to these people for them to know God in this nation. But 4 years later, in 1956, Jim Elliot and four other men were killed for the sake of the gospel. He left behind his wife and a baby that he would never see till in heaven. When people look at his life, people think he's foolish. He wasted his life. He threw away his life and left wife and baby behind. That's a bad decision. But for Jim Elliot, he knew what he was doing. He knew the value of God's kingdom, of the gospel. He loved God, and he see God as being more valuable than anything he had. It may seem like a tragedy for people, but for him, it's the wisest thing he could have done for his soul and for the kingdom of God. As you well know, that he once said that even before he went to Ecuador, that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Either at young age or old age, one day he has to give away his life. But he wants to spend his life bringing the gospel, making his life count for the cause of the gospel, for the kingdom. Why I told you this story? Because the text that we are looking today is talking about a man, or two men, who found something so valuable that they are willing to give up and sacrifice all that he had for things he found. So today we come to the text in Matthew chapter 13. So there's a lot of way we can do, but with the time we have, I just want to look at these two parables briefly. And then we're going to look at some applications, some lessons we can learn, which I have three of them. But first of all, let's come to this parable and look at the parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Verse 44 said, the kingdom of heaven. So another term is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is two terms with the same meaning. Talking about the government of God. When we talk about the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we thought only about heaven. But it's more than that. It's talking about everything under his rule. It's talking about Christ. It's talking about his salvation. It's talking about him. It's talking about everything under the government of God, under the reign of God. Then Jesus compared his kingdom like a treasure hidden in the field. Now stop here for a moment. As we read now in 21st century, it might be confusing hiding the treasure in the land, but in that day, there's no bank system like us. So when you have a treasure, something valuable, gold or silver, what you do is that you bury them in your property. You might put in a case and close it, lock it, and bury it in your land. So that's what happened here. We can see in Matthew 25, one of the servants received some money from the master, but he didn't invest them, but he buried them under the ground. It said there's a man found this treasure. We don't know who he is. It doesn't matter. He might be walking through the field. He might be working there. He might be looking at the land to buy. But that's not the point. The point that he found it. But the problem is that it's not belong to him. But he wanted so bad. So what are you going to do? He said that a man found and hid it again. What did he hide? Because he wanted. So what he did is that a man found it and hid it again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We saw this man. He found something so valuable. He went home, maybe talked to his wife, his family, and sold all he has so he can go back and buy this piece of land. Because in this land, there's a treasure that value more valuable than anything he has seen in his life. Now, when we read this, there's a lot of questions coming up. That why he did that? Why he didn't tell the owner? Why did he just tell the owner? And why did he try to be tricky and try to get this treasure? But this is a parable. We cannot dig into all the detail. As somebody said, a parable is like earthly story with heavenly meaning. But the point is that he found it. And he wanted it, but the problem is that he cannot have it because it's not belong to him. So what he did is that he hid it again. He went back. He bring all the money he can so that he can buy this land. Why Jesus tell this kind of story? This is sound like cheating. This is sound like he's doing something wrong. But remember that, as one author said, the owner probably didn't even know that the treasure is in this land. And there's a Jewish law back in the old day that if somebody found it and the owner didn't know about it, he can keep it. So in this situation, the owner probably buried it and have to move away because of war or because of some situation. But the point is that he found something valuable and he have to do everything he could so he can own that land for that treasure. So move along in verse 45. We come to second parable. It's the same message again. A man found something so valuable, so he willing to give up all so that he can gain it. Now we come to the pearl, the parable of a costly pearl. Now the kingdom of God, heaven, is like a merchant seeking fine pearl. The only difference between the two parables is that the first parable, he didn't mean to find it. He just happened to find this treasure. But the second man, he was looking for it. He's a merchant, he's a businessman, looking for a fine pearl so he can buy and trade it and buy the low price, maybe sell it for a higher price. Now he found a pearl, but the problem is that he didn't have enough money to buy it. Thinking about it, a businessman probably have some money or gold or silver so he can trade the pearl, but he found it. He didn't have enough money to buy this one pearl. So what he did is that the same thing, he went home and sold. He said that he went and sold all that he had and bought it. A man found something so valuable that he willing to give up all so that he can gain it. So this is the message of this parable. But now we come to here, the question will be, what is the lesson for this? What is the lesson from this parable? If I can summarize in one sentence, it will be the kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give up all in order to gain the kingdom of God, in order to be a part of this kingdom. The kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give up all so that he or she can be a part of this kingdom. Now, this kingdom is invisible. This kingdom is heavenly. This is not the kingdom like in this world. What was the lesson? I had three of them that I want to look with you briefly. There's a lot of them, but I have time for three. The first thing is that I want you to see that the kingdom of God is incomparable in its value. In other words, the kingdom of God is priceless. There's nothing to be compared to the value and the pricelessness of the kingdom of God. Just like the treasure and the pearl are so valuable to those two men, also the kingdom of God. Now, when I say the kingdom of God, I remind you again that it's not only talking about heaven, because the kingdom of God is more like for the person of Christ and God more than heaven. So think about this. To know God, to have a relationship with God, to be adopted as his son, to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, there's nothing to be compared to that. There's a lot of valuable things in this earth. There's gold and silver, money and diamond, but when you put all of them one side and compare to being the kingdom of God, it's incomparable. It's incomparable. 1 Peter 1, chapter 3 and 5, if you want to turn that, look briefly. I can read it to you. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away." What will you trade for the kingdom of God? There's nothing more valuable and priceless like the kingdom of God. I hope you see that. The fact that you know God, the fact that you're in the church, the fact that you can call God your God and to be his children is priceless. Nothing incomparable to that. But the problem is that the value of the kingdom of God is not seen by eyes, but by the heart. The parable didn't say this, but I try to think about the two men who found the pearl and the treasure, went back to his wife or his in-law or whoever that is and told that, "Hey, we're going to sell everything we have because I found this piece of land. Hey, I'm going to sell everything because I want to buy that one pearl that I found." He might have sold all the pearls he has. We don't know. They might sell the house, the land, everything to buy this. But think about those who disagree with him. How hard of a place he is. Just like the kingdom of God. When you come to Christ, when you want to follow him, when you want to serve at the church, when you want to give your life to Christ, people who do not see the value of it will disagree with you, will not agree with you. But for us, for you, who've seen the value of the kingdom of God, it's priceless. We are willing to do all. The matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it said that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So no matter what you do in your life, what age you are, either parents or kid, we have our own duty, our own job to do, but God created you for him. Your first responsibility is to know him, to pursue him. It's good that we have kids. It's good that we have job. It's good that we have things to do. But God didn't create you for that. He created you for you to seek him. Our first responsibility is to pursue him, to know him, and to see that God is more valuable than anything we have our own. Psalm chapter 73, 25, the writer said that, "Whom I have in heaven but you, and beside you I desire nothing on earth." Can we say that? Psalm 84, verse 10 said that, "For a day in your court is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the door of the house of my God than dwell in the tent of wickedness." It's precious to be his children. It's precious to be in his house. It preaches to know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. So to have the Word of God, to be able to read, to be able to study, it's preaches. For to other people who do not see the value of it, it's foolish. But for us who have tasted, it tastes better than silver and gold. So if somebody asks you what is the most valuable thing in your life, what would you be answered? Would it be the kingdom of God? What is something that is so valuable to you that you hold tightly that you wouldn't let it go? Would it be the kingdom of God? Or would it be something? Would it be your children? Would it be your money in the bank account? Let it be the kingdom of God and to know Him. And if so, if you think it's valuable to you, how do you reflect that? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? How do you spend your energy? How do you spend time pursuing Him? Tell me what you do, and I will tell you where's your value. Pursue Him, because He's the most valuable thing in our life. So may God open our eyes to see that He's valuable. He's precious. That's why the Bible said that seek first His kingdom. Pray that His kingdom will come and love Him more than anything and anybody we have. So let's move on. Second thing I want you to see is that not only the kingdom of God is incomparable in its value, the second thing is that the kingdom of God is incalculable in its cost. Another word is that the kingdom of God is costly. It's costly. Now, I'm not here talking about you have to pay money to be safe, or you have to buy your way into the kingdom of God, because that's impossible. The Bible said that salvation is a free gift by God through faith in Christ. But what I'm talking about is that the cost of being in the kingdom of God, the cost of obtaining the kingdom of God. Let's look at this parable real fast. Just come back again. Even though what they found is so valuable, we can see that it cost them dearly to have the treasure and to have the pearls. 44 say that he sold all that he had. Verse 46 said that he sold all that he had also. So we see the cost of them. They see the value. They see something valuable, but they have to give up a lot. The matter of fact, they give up all so they can have the treasure and the pool. The same way, the kingdom of God. So this, the cost I'm talking about, the cost of being in His kingdom, the cost of being discipleship. This text talking about the radical of being Christ's disciple. He's talking about what we have to sacrifice to be in His kingdom. So think about it. The problem with a lot of people is that we see a lot in our ministry. They will say, I want to become Christian. I want to come to church, but my family will not let me do that. I will come to Christ, but my spouse will not be happy. I want to come to Christ, but I have things to do. One of the problems we see is that they are not willing to pay the cost to be in the kingdom of God. So whoever you are, how little you are, everybody have to pay something to be in God's kingdom, not money. It might cost you your job. It might cause you conflict with your family. It might cost you even your life. The cost for different people is different in different levels, but it costs to be in His kingdom. It costs to obtain His kingdom. What did it cost us? Dr. Lawson said in his book, it will cost you everything. This two person found all. They want it all, but they have to give up all to have it. I want to look at two more verses. Turn with me to the book of Luke in Luke 14. It's talking about the cost of being Christ's disciple. Jesus say in verse 26, now he talked to a large crowd that following him. And he said in verse 26, if anyone come to me and does not hate his own father, mother, and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He goes on to verse 23. Now this will say that if you're going to follow Christ, you have to love God more than everybody you know. Love God more than everything you have. And love God even more than our life. This is the qualification of a person who want to be in His kingdom. The problem with a lot of people, even in our country, that when you share the gospel, they tell them the blessing. Hey, if you come to Christ, you will go to heaven. Hey, if you come to Christ, you get this and that, but nobody mentioned the cost. Nobody read Luke 14. Do you read Luke 15 when you share the gospel? If not, you have to, because that's the cost of coming to Christ. You see that Jesus is not trying to have people to follow him as much as they can, but he tried to make sure that they know what they're getting into. One of the books said that the reason a lot of people have a backslide after they come to Christ because they didn't count the cost. When they see the problem, they just back out. Hey, I never thought about this. This is too much for me. So the problem is that a lot of people want to be in the kingdom, want to know him, but they're not willing to pay the price to be in his kingdom. So the kingdom of God is costly, and only those who count the cost, only those who see the value, and by the grace of God, is willing to give up all to be in his kingdom. Now, another reference in just a few more pages in Luke 18. You remember the story of the rich young ruler. He came to Christ and said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Go and sell everything you have. The selling is not the problem here. The issue is that the man is not willing to give up what he has to for eternal life. So the problem for this man is the money he has because he loves it. For different people, it might be a different thing. So what is one thing that pulling you away to enter the kingdom of God? What is pulling you away to be a faithful disciple? So the kingdom of God is priceless, but it's costly. And only those who are willing to pay the price is worthy and value of the kingdom of God. Now let's move on. The third thing, the last thing I want you to see is that not only the kingdom of God is incomparable, is in value, not only is it costly, but the last thing is that the kingdom of God is immeasurable in its return. Yes, it's valuable. Yes, it's costly, but it worth the sacrifice. It worth the sacrifice. Come back with me in Matthew chapter 13 again. We see here that these two men, they found the treasure. They found the pearls, but they did the math, and he came back right. I don't have to sell all. I have to give up all my pearls, even all the land. But at the end of the day, I want to get the whole of that pearls and that treasure. I cannot sleep. I cannot do anything. This is what I have to get, and it worth it for them. So the kingdom of God, yes, it's costly. It may cause conflict, it may cause your life, it may cause your job, it may cause a lot of things in your life. But in the end of the day, it's worth it because its value is immeasurable. What you have to sacrifice and what you have to gain in return is immeasurable. So it's valuable, it's costly, and it's worth it. So the man in this parable sold everything, but what he received in return is worth more than anything he ever seen in his life. We can see in that verse 44 that it said that they sold all from joy, not reluctantly, not grudgingly, not angrily, but from joy. I'm sure the same with the man who found the pearl that sold from his joy because he knows that what he's paying for and what he received in return is immeasurable. Just like the kingdom of God. As a man say, I never sacrifice anything for Jesus. Because to think about what he did for us and what he is preparing for us and what he's giving us is immeasurable for what little thing we have to give. C.S.T. Studd said that if Jesus Christ be God and die for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If you think Christ is valuable to you, if you think the kingdom of God is value, if you value God more than anything else, you're going to be willing to give anything you have for God and for his kingdom. So to give up earthly things, to gain heavenly things, is easy choice. The problem is that whether or not you're willing to trade heavenly thing with earthly thing. The problem is that a lot of time we hold on to earthly thing. I want this, I want that, I won't let it go. And that caused us to be far away from Christ. Listen to this quote from the book. I saw it said that the kingdom of God is something worth losing everything for. There is great reward in submitting to the redemptive rule and reign of God in Christ. And this reward is greater than everything this world offers. Do you believe that? Knowing God, being in His kingdom, is worthy more than anything. And we're willing to do anything we can to be a part of this. Do you know what Paul said in Philippians 3:8? I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain what? Gain Christ. Paul said everything he had, everything he done, is nothing compared to what I'm beholding, which is the person of God and Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 19, verse 29, said that everybody who has left house or brothers and sister or father or mother or children or farm for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. So whatever you think you're giving up for Christ is nothing compared to what He will give you in return. Eternal life. Eternal relationship with God, knowing Him, be able to read His Word. So this is precious. And that's why I say that the kingdom of God is immeasurable in its return. So see the value, count the cost, and make up your mind that we will do anything to behold His kingdom by the grace of God. You remember what I say? You remember the story of in Mark chapter 14, a lady came and poured out a very expensive perfume on the feet of Christ. And for those who see it, even the disciples said, why do you waste that? This is foolish. You can save up that money and you could use that money for many, many years. But for her, Christ is more valuable to her than anything. So she's willing to give the best of what she has to the best that she values, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if being in His kingdom is the most valuable thing, how much we are willing to sacrifice to pay for Him? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your life, your submission. That's what Jim Elliot said in the beginning, that he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Whatever you hold tight today, one day it will be gone. Either you're going to go before that or somebody's going to take it. But use all we have, energy, money, time, for His kingdom. Because the return that He prepared for you is immeasurable. So I hope and pray that we see that the kingdom of God is valuable and we will do the math, pay the cost, and know that what He prepared for us is immeasurable. So, do you love God? Do you see His value? I hope and pray that God will help us in every day to know Him more, to love Him more, to value His kingdom, and willing to do anything for His kingdom. John Piper said the kingdom of God is so valuable that losing everything on earth but gaining the kingdom is a happy trade-off. Having the omnipotent, saving reign of Christ in our life is so valuable that if we lost everything in order to have it, it's a joyful sacrifice. Have you found a treasure? Have you found a pearl in Christ, in the kingdom of God? May God help us to be that person. May God help us to see that, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him is priceless. Even though it's costly, but it's worth it. It's worth all the sacrifice. One of my favorite preachers, Dr. Lawson, said that who wouldn't trade dirt for them? Who would trade sin for salvation, hell for heaven, guilt for grace, emptiness for eternal life? Whoever wouldn't do this is a fool. So don't let us be that person. And Jesus said that, for what will profit a man if he gain the whole world and forsake his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange of his soul? So let us see the value of God by his grace. Let us count the cost. And let us do all we can to serve him, to love him, to be in his kingdom, because we know that at the end of the day, it's worth the sacrifice. So the kingdom of God is so valuable that the wise who see it is willing to give up all to be a part of his kingdom. Let us be that man. If you are in this morning, if you not know Christ, Christ is a treasure. The pearl is the most valuable thing you will ever find in your life. Submit to him. Come to him. And know that whatever you have to give is little compared to knowing him, loving him, and serving him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Help us by your grace to see that your kingdom is so valuable. Let us count the cost and let us willing to give up anything that comes in our way between you and us. And let us pursue you. Let us love you. Let us serve you. And let us encourage people around us to do the same. We thank you for your grace and your love. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.